Okay, my name is Ted Loader, and I'm a professor of earth sciences and the Institute for the Study of Earth, Oceans, and Space at the University of New Hampshire. I've been there since 1972. I'm professionally an oceanographer and mostly dealing with the chemical aspects of the oceans and the coastal zone, mainly the coastal. Okay. So it wasn't until about almost 4 years ago that I was talking to my cousin, Steve Lovkin, who's now Brigadier General in the Army Reserves. He's a lawyer in North Carolina. And I was talking to my first cousin. He and I are very close as children, but we got away from each other for many, many years. He was in North Carolina. I was in various parts of New England, what have you, and we got away from each other. But about 4 years ago, he and I had been talking, and he told me that he had been to some meeting on the West Coast with some astronauts and Russian astronauts and what have you. Actually, he didn't. And I said, Steve, what's this about astronauts you were talking to? And he flips out this card on the table that was the card of a Russian astronaut, English on one side, Russian on the other. And he looked at me and said, Ted, did you ever hear of Area 51? The Roswell. No, he said, did you ever hear of the Roswell? Just Roswell. And I said, of course, everybody's heard of Roswell. At that time, probably everybody hadn't, but I certainly had. And he said, well, it was real. And I said, oh, really? Tell me more. And so we spent the next 3 days in intense conversations. I could barely sleep at night, frankly, because for that, when my cousin sat there and told me the things that he had known, the people he'd talked to, and everything else, and he was in the White House during Eisenhower's administration. He had top secret clearance, and he was in cryptography. He worked on Project Blue Book for a period of time. He saw materiel from the Roswell crash, and he had no reason to lie to me at all. He's my cousin. I mean, we're best friends for all of our childhood, and it just no reason at all. And, all this, he told me all this. And so I didn't have to go through the long doubting period that most people do. Here was somebody who was an inside person telling me this stuff was real. So within a matter of probably hours or something, I was absolutely convinced that what he was telling me was real. And now I had to sort of sort it out. And I spent... during those first few nights when I was there, I must admit, I spent a lot of time at night lying in bed saying, oh my God, it's real. What are the implications? In other words, I didn't get hung up on the real stuff. I said, what are the implications? If this is real, then therefore that, etc. And so I realized even at that time that if this is real, this is probably the single most important thing on this planet today. And the depressing thing is that they're already available. There is already knowledge of how these things function, and it's not available to our society. And that has me extremely annoyed, not so much from a personal point of view, but from a societal point of view. And I was flying down on the airplane just today and sitting there in this airplane thinking about, here we are flying on this fossil fuel-driven device using technology that's just an extension of the Wright brothers almost 100 years ago. Within just a couple of years, it's going to be 100 years since we've been driving fossil fuel-driven airplanes. And yet the technology I now know has existed for almost 50 years or about 50 years and has probably been usable in terms of a craft for maybe 40, 45 years or maybe 50 years. I don't know exactly when. And here I am still flying in this thing. So... And then I'm an oceanographer, and I work with the environment extensively. I teach classes about the environment, different aspects of the environment. And I realize and I see how much is going on in the environment that doesn't have to go on. So, and I realize that some of the technologies that the ETs, if you will, or the craft represent are technologies that could help us. They could also be used for defense purposes or military purposes as well, but like the old saying goes, a knife can cut or it can spread butter. The same holds with technology, and there's it's ridiculous to hold back the technology. And the depressing thing is that the knowledge of this, which is kind of the single biggest piece of knowledge there is, that we are not alone in the universe, that we are actually a member of a family of, if you will, nations or peoples throughout the universe, and that we're not alone is amazing. It's going to alter the way we view ourselves on Earth forevermore. And so that's why I realized this was so incredibly important. And the argument that people can't handle it and all this sort of stuff, I don't think it flies at all. I've talked to a lot of people about this, and I've never seen anybody go off the deep end when I've told them what I know.
Do you?
The meeting my cousin was at was, as I understand it, because this is a few years ago we talked about it, but as I understand it, the CSETI group, the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence group that Dr. Greer heads, had put together a group of scientists, former astronauts, both and cosmonauts, so they're both American and Russian, and a number of military people and some civilian people who knew that the subject was real. And as I understood it, they had gotten together, held a meeting to discuss the implications of the disclosure of this information and how to get this information out to the world public. And so my cousin was there as one of the witnesses, one of the people who knew the subject was real, knew that Eisenhower knew it was real, because as I understood it, his direct boss at the White House was the one who briefed Eisenhower on what was happening in the UFO field. And my cousin was aware of what was going on. And my cousin had met Eisenhower a number of times and what have you. But I decided that I wouldn't go public, if you will, about this until I saw something that was absolutely in my face, seen by multiple witnesses, and there could be no argument. And it was that happened for me, and everybody kind of remembers their first time, if you will. It happened for me when I was in Desert Hot Springs in the fall of 97. And there was a group of us, 20-something, was sitting around in Joshua Tree National Monument.
What kind of group is this?
This is a CSETI training group led by Dr. Greer, and we were out in the field observing and trying to observe and see craft of some sort. And it happened to be a rather full moon, or pretty much of a full moon evening. And I was facing, the moon was off to my right shoulder. And just below the moon, there appeared an object like a globe, like a ball, maybe a third to half the diameter of the moon. It just appeared to the left side underneath the moon, and it just traveled from this side of the moon, about like that, over to the other side of the moon, and then just went, it just disappeared. It just turned off. It's as though somebody turned a light bulb on one side of the moon and then carried across below the moon. So it wasn't in front of the moon, but below the moon, and then turned it off. I said, I was so excited. I said, wow, did anybody else see that? I'm sort of almost jumping up and down because it was so clear and so obvious to me. And Dr. Greer, luckily, he was facing that direction, so he had seen it. And I said, did anybody else see this? And Dr. Greer said, yes. He said, I saw it. Did anybody else see it? And about, I don't know, five or six people in the group said, yes, I saw it. Yes, I saw it. So all sitting on that side where he was. And the implications are manifold. I think one thing it will do, this is maybe hopeful, but it will bring the peoples of the earth closer together. It will give them a different sense of themselves as a race. We'll realize we're not alone in the universe, that we're part of a much larger family of intelligent races, conscious peoples, if you will. And I think also there's going to be some major technological implications as well. Because the first question, and this is probably one of the major reasons why this topic has been kept quiet so long, the first question that one might ask even the man or woman on the street is going to ask, well, if there are these peoples from other planets and they're here visiting us, how did they get here? Did they have to come at the speed of light and take 4 to hundreds of years to get here, even at the speed of light? Or did they come with using some other technology? Well, they're going to find out, of course, that they're using some other technology, and they don't have to travel at the speed of light. They travel at superluminal speeds, semi-instantaneously, if you want to put it in those sort of terms. And so that at that point, you can say, holy mackerel, these technologies could, if used in a peaceful way, benefit our Earth civilization in a major way. And so then where do they get the energy to travel these great speeds? And then we start to look into the energy. They aren't using jet fuel. They aren't using coal to get here. They're using technologies that the average guy on the street, the average physicist in a university, doesn't have any clue about, and yet it's very real. So the implications are for hopefully a planetary society that does not, that can go beyond the coal and oil and those aspects. In fact, one of the major problems I've seen and talked about for years on our planet is that this planet is basically offering its people a several hundred, maybe about 100-year, 150-year window to develop new technologies. It's about 150 years. You can argue the numbers of coal and fossil fuels on this planet that have been laid down over hundreds of millions of years. We have a very short time to go from burning wood to oil and coal and nuclear to a sustainable energy. And if we blow it because we haven't gotten our act together, we're toast. As totally serious, and I said I was appointed by the governor of the state to attend a congressional briefing, a closed congressional briefing on this topic with people like Edgar Mitchell speaking about the reality of this and what have you. And they say, oh, really? Tell me more. So that's one reaction of my scientific colleagues on a one-to-one basis. Well, this is very interesting. Part of this gentleman's problems was he was a civilian but had done a lot of work with NASA on a lot of committees and what have you. And I think his problem was the fact that he hadn't heard about this as being a real subject. And he knew that he was very important, because he was on a lot of committees in NASA. And since he was very important but hadn't heard about this thing, this couldn't be true, because since he was important, he would have heard about it. You see the logic there? I mean, and he sort of said, oh, okay. And so he went on and on and on. But as the conversation went on and I told him more about what I knew and the reality of these things, he got colder and colder toward our discussion. And it started off very warm because we both knew a lot of mutual people, and so there was sort of a coming together in that sense. And I realized afterwards that he was very threatened by this knowledge, because what the particular job that he was doing in NASA would be majorly impacted by the knowledge that there are extraterrestrials already here on this planet, visiting our planet, and that they have the ability to travel through space and what have you. And so my sense was that his raison d'etre, the reason that he works at NASA and his ego is sort of wrapped up in this, would no longer be as valid a reason if what I was saying was true. And so he pulled back from me. So I kind of learned. And then he said a very curious thing. I wouldn't believe it even if it was real. This is a direct quote from his email to me. I would not believe this even if it was real. And then he went on, but if you learn anything more about this, let me know. So and it's so you can say, so I was left with this, forget it. I'm not gonna, if your mind is so closed that you make a statement, I wouldn't believe it even if it was real. It tells me we have a major problem with scientists in our universities in getting them to accept something different than their paradigms that they're so used to or been grown up with. That's a major problem within our whole universities. Interestingly enough, the students that I've lectured to are far more open-minded than the professors. And I'm a professor, and I deal with these people all the time. A couple other points to keep in mind is that the Roswell and similar events in New Mexico in the late 40s allowed certain parts of the U.S. government to obtain downed craft, extraterrestrial craft. Since that time, that was late 40s, it's now 50-some years later, since then the black projects have pumped hundreds of billions, that's hundreds of billions of dollars, maybe approaching a trillion, I don't know the number, it's big. It's bigger than Bill Gates, had pumped these untold billions of dollars into researching the technologies, reverse engineering these technologies such as anti-gravity and space travel and a whole bunch of technologies that are associated with extraterrestrial technologies allowing these space travel to occur and other aspects of that. Now, if you've just put in several hundred billions of dollars into something, you can be doggone sure that something's come out of that. And people have told me that we had spent a tremendous amount of money by the mid-50s on anti-gravity. There's anti-gravity literature in the public domain, and there's a tremendous amount going on there. So I've heard from a number of different quarters that we have anti-gravity techniques actually in craft that can fly as discs. In fact, it is my sense of things from a number of different sources that the vast majority of extraterrestrial craft that people observe in the United States and other parts of the world are not extraterrestrial. They're actually our military or our covert black ops people. That these are fully reverse engineered. I've seen what are sometimes known as alien reproduction vehicles, ARVs. These are craft that have been reverse engineered, and I've seen some. I saw a craft a few years ago, which I thought at the time was extraterrestrial. At this point, I mean, you can't tell when they're in the distance, but at this point, I think probably it was a V-shaped craft heading down the Santa Barbara Channel, witnessed by somebody else, both of us, night vision, $1,500 night vision scope. And this craft was traveling between 4,000 and 8,000 miles an hour down the Santa Barbara Channel. And Tony Craddock and I witnessed this with the night vision. Both of us had night vision. We both saw it at the same time. And it was hauling. And I thought it was actually...
There was a disc escorted by jets in Sedona 2 years ago.
That's and I was thinking exactly the one I was thinking of. In Sedona 2 years ago, when I was there with a whole group of CSETI people again, we saw an alien reproduction vehicle escorted by jets, U.S. jets, flying with this object that was acting totally different than the jets. It was silent. It was moving differently than the jets. As I know CSETI is, to try to get the federal government, i.e. our both legislative and executive branches, to come to grips with this in a public manner, to get the Senate or the House, congressional branches to hold hearings on the subject to get it out. That doesn't seem to be happening. They seem to be scared to death of it, and for all kinds of reasons that politicians are scared of anything dangerous, they seem to be scared to death of it. I had serious hopes that the executive branch might be willing to come out with this, but I've actually asked questions of Al Gore in the public forum about this. I know that President Clinton has received briefings on this information. He knows it's real, but he hasn't been willing to come forth as well. So as a scientist and one who knows this subject is real, I've talked to my legislators, I've talked to my classes, I've talked to my students, this can do. And I think very personally that people who know this subject is real owe it to our society and to our planet to come forth and speak out about this. I've got two sons. in their early 30s. And I want to see this planet, and this sounds maybe corny in some quarters, but anybody who has children wants to see them have a future on this planet that is good as I had it or better. And I see that unless this subject comes out, this planet will not be as good as I had it or better. It's going to be worse from a pollution point of view and from a breaking down of our society and our democratic society. I've talked to a number of people who've studied this issue and feel that the, quote, cover-up of this issue that has been going on for the last 50 years is probably the biggest single threat to our democratic society it has ever faced since the Constitution was founded and this country was founded in 1776. We are at a major crossroads in how our society and our democratic society and government function, because this topic is not under control of our elected government, is not under control of our judicial government. It is under control of others, some of who are members of our government, some of who are members of the industrial complex. And they are in control of this issue, the single most important issue on this planet today. And that is not healthy in the long run for our society or our people. For a long time, we had the threats of Russia and the Cold War, and there was a reason, perhaps misguided, but there was a reasonably good reason, and I'll give them that, for keeping this quiet, because we didn't want the Russians to find out about this technology. We didn't want the Russians to find out about the existence of extraterrestrials and et cetera, which, of course, they knew all along, as we now know, and we probably knew it then. But for whatever demented reasons, it was kept away from the public so it wouldn't, quote, get to the Russians. Of course, they knew what was going on because they were spying. And so it was being kept from the public, not from the Russians. But that time has passed. The Cold War has ended in its own way, and we no longer have that threat. And so the time, the arguments for keeping the secret have gone on by. The trouble is now we're finding that people who know it's real are afraid to speak out. There are very few people, and there are some, and we're seeing more and more, but there are very few people relative to the numbers who know it's real who have the courage of conviction to say this secret has gone on too long. It is time for this information to become known worldwide for all the reasons that it should happen relative to humans as an intelligent race among many. It's time for this information to come out in terms of the technology for the benefit of our society on this planet and for the benefit of our ecosystems on this planet. Very few people are willing to stand up and be counted on this issue. And the excuses go on and on and on. And we talk to our senators, our representatives, and they'll come up with any excuse in the book to face this fairly in front of them and say, I'm going to do something about it. And that's why there are only a few of us, I count myself as one of them, who are willing to stand up and say this topic is real. We need to talk about it openly, and we need to move on into that. Because this is keeping us as a world society and planetary society, it's keeping us down. It's preventing us from moving on as a planetary society. And furthermore, something I haven't mentioned that is absolutely critical is the following. That the covert groups who presently are in control of this subject are using a very advanced technology, some of which has been reverse engineered from the extraterrestrials and developed, some of which is part of the Star Wars box of tricks, etc. They're using these technologies to acquire, shoot down extraterrestrial craft. You have numerous witnesses who have seen this and know of its existence. This means that there's a small group of people on this planet who are literally declaring interplanetary war with extraterrestrials who have literally come to this planet to observe and ultimately to help mankind. This is an untenable situation for the peoples of this planet to be in. And extremely disturbing to me and all of us, us who are aware of this fact. That alone is enough reason to make this public and to try to get people to be concerned about it.